When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Verse 47. "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hand." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, continually worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And Father, your words that proclaim from my mouth, Father, I pray that they will not return unto you void, and that these words, Father, would edify your body, these believers, to be greater, to be bolder, and to believe on you daily. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we have here an encounter with Saul and David. I'm sure many of us have probably already heard the story of David and Goliath, which is we're going to get into a little bit later on. But we have an encounter here between the king and his servant. And David is bold. He makes a comment about this uncircumcised Philistine, but he's still bold. So one of these questions we might ask: what gives David his boldness? Now just let that meditate and roll over in your mind. Why is David really so bold here? There are times when we can experience fear. We might have fear of flying. Some of us do. We've got to take trains everywhere we go. We might be scared of crowds. I know I don't like to be around too many people. But that's just me. Some of us might be scared of guns. Others of us may not be. Some of us might be scared of our children getting hurt. You know, we're, you know, that helicopter kind of parent, and we're always watching over our children, making sure that, yes, they can play, they can have fun, but we want to just make sure they're fine. Some of us are scared of heights. These are phobias for some. But let's call it a paranoid obsession, all right? What God expects from us is just to be bold. God expects us, is my first point, is for us to be bold. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, the scripture is read, it says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." In the King James Version, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." So we don't have this fearfulness from God. This spirit of fear that we might have is within our flesh. Okay? Bold in battle. Our battles can be anything that takes us away from being servants of the Lord. Our battles can be anything that causes us to have worry or doubt. Anything. So what are some of the elements of being bold in battle? Some of us in this room may have actually seen combat. Some of us haven't. And to differentiate from that type of battle to the spiritual battle or the physical battle that we're going to be talking about today is a bit different. But a battle that is greater than a physical enemy is a battle that we are enduring every day. Every day. Our example again is David and Goliath. And some of these rules that apply, whether we're fighting a physical battle or a personal action where we might need deliverance, they apply. So my point here is to be brave just to stand up. Be brave just to stand up. In Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12, it reads, "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Be brave just to stand up. Sometimes people may even ask you, you know, you have, and we'll get to courage later, but you have this sense of just always being there in the front of battle or in the front lines of dealing with the battles that come against you. But we have to understand, again, why David was bold. Because of his belief and his faith in the Lord. Sometimes it takes a lot just to get up and to deal with these issues that come your way, these struggles that are persistent upon you. Sometimes just to get up. When you can't even pray for yourself, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will pray for us with utterings and moanings that we can't understand. So there is a means of us in our belief and our faith in the Lord to keep us focused, to keep us in tune, to order our steps. There's this great sense of peace if we can just achieve that peace by relinquishing ourselves and letting ourselves just fall into the cradled arms of the Lord as he rocks us and he stands with us and he protects us. So sometimes it's just a thing just to be brave to stand up. God is not going to have his people that are obedient look like they are not in accord with his will. He's not going to do that. He's not going to keep you stepping and just see how you turn out. He's going to make sure. So to be brave and to be brave in the Lord, to be bold and to believe on the Lord daily are the things that we must do. So not only do we need to be brave just to stand up, we need to have courage to call upon God to fight. In Psalms 27:1, the word says that the Lord is my light and my salvation, and asks the question, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Have courage. Call upon God to help with these battles that you might be fighting, to help with these battles that we are fighting. It's not just you, it's me too. So we have to be brave, we have to have courage, and then we also have to have faith. Continue to think, what made David feel bold? What was his boldness based upon? We must have faith that is not your battle. And our ending scripture says here in 1 Samuel 17:47, says, "And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." David had faith to believe once again that this foe, Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, would fall. And he would fall not as a result of perpetually David's power or David's force, but because of his faith and belief in the Lord God, that David would be empowered to carry out this task. Now there's a scripture, verse 35, as we're talking about the interchange between Saul and David. And he talks about here, as Pastor and I have had a conversation, about David being battle-tested. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant, verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. The beautiful thing here in terms of David being battle-tested is that more than likely no one saw that interaction. It was just David and the bear, or David and the lion. But this is another thing here too. In the verse 35, it says that he seized him and struck him and killed him. And just before that, it says he's removing this animal, this lamb, from the bear or the lion's mouth. And it says, and when he rose up against me, I seized him. Now, I submit to you that there may have been a time when David was fighting these bears and these lions, and they just let the animal go. Right? Upon David's charge to them. And David didn't necessarily have to kill that bear or have to kill that lion. We don't know how many times this may have happened. But obviously it happened enough times for David to use it as an inference of his ability to come up against these battles, where he has been battle-tested and he understands his activities and actions. So there may have been a time where he was able to grab this lamb and the lion or the bear left. What I'm asking you to think about here is there may be a time where there is not a call to have war. He didn't necessarily have to kill this bear, but there was no time to have a war in this battle zone. There are choices that you can make. If this bear rose up against David, then sure, this bear was going to die. But if the bear saw David's attack and let the lamb go and went on, so be it. David didn't necessarily have to kill that bear. But there's a choice. What I'm inferring to is in our own lives and the battles that we have, as the battle presents itself to you, you have a choice. You have a choice to do it in your own strength, or you have a choice to respond to these battles according to God and his empowerment of you. You have a choice. It's not necessary that you automatically see the battle and run with it. Sometimes in the job place, we choose our battles to fight. Not every personality or personnel conflict desires you to step forward and preach. Sometimes we have to choose our battles. And that's what I'm trying to really get to. The fact of the matter is that there's a choice that you must make. So let's look at who this Goliath really is. If we look at verses, starting at verse 8, and we get a chance to potentially see the scene. But looking at verse 8, he says, he stood and shouted, speaking about Goliath, stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Verse 9, if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us. Verse 10. Again, the Philistines said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now let's look at who Goliath is. He was definitely the champion of the Philistines. They say in his description earlier in the chapter, he was 6 cubits and a span. Now, a cubit is somewhere between 17 and 21 inches, so it's a good thing to call them 18 inches for the ease of the math. And a span is about half of that, so let's say about 9 inches. So Goliath was somewhere between 9 and a half feet, all the way potentially up to 12 feet tall. But most people consider him just around, you know, 9 to 11, a little bit closer. And when we start looking at his armor, he said his shekels, a shekel is 10.2 grams. And when you do the math, his armor was 110 pounds that he was wearing. Now, some of you Marines, were any Marines in here? Probably not. Mostly Navy. Oh, we got Marine. Anyway, sorry, I digress. Marines are used to carrying those heavy packs, you know, 80 pounds, 90 pounds, something like that. But this man's armor was 110 pounds. His spear point, when you do the math, just the spear point was 15 pounds in and of itself. And all of the bronze protection that he had made Goliath look frightening. And he was strong. He was battle tested with witnesses for the battles that he had fought. So when the people of Israel, the army of Israel, saw this guy, they were scared. They were fearful. And if you read the scripture, it tells you that the men ran just from this guy. And this guy, Goliath, would come up and be seen and defy the army of Israel every day for 40 days. So they're out on post, on front, whatever you, how you want to say that. They're lined up in battle, and here comes out the Philistine champion against them. And they were scared. I think I would probably be, in my physical sense, be scared too. I'm sure, with or without a gun. But then now let's look at the scene of what's kind of going on. David's charged to take a care package to his brothers, and he's also supposed to give some cheese to the commander of their thousand. And he does this. And he's been doing this for a while. He's been going back and forth, watching the sheep, and depending on what Jesse would ask him to do, then he would go and greet the brothers. And he's supposed to bring back some assurance from them that they're okay. So if we look at the scene that's kind of going on, it says, so David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in the battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And he was talking with them. Behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke those same words, and David was able to hear him. So we have this battle cry, and the armies are lining themselves up. One is on one hill, one is on the other hill, and there's a valley in between. And as David runs to greet his brothers, and he's trying to you know, just talk. He's the baby boy, like I would have been, and I'm going to talk to my older brother, you know. So I'm just trying to see how they're doing, and probably has some kind of marvel at they're in the army, and you know, and they're fighting against God's foes. But he finally gets to hear Goliath speak these words. And in verse 24, you see that the men, when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. So you might ask yourself, and as I did, why didn't the Philistines charge? If Goliath was coming out for 40 days, why didn't the Philistines, as these men of Israel ran, why didn't they just charge them and take over and battle them down? God was covering them. In spite of what they were experiencing and how they were experiencing it, God was covering them. And he remembered his promise to Israel. God covers you. God covers me. God covers us. In spite of the battles that may present themselves to us, with a relationship with the Lord and a struggle to be obedient to God and to sin less, God covers us. He's with us. He watches over us. David makes a recommendation, not a recommendation, but a statement about this uncircumcised Philistine. And if you understand the Abrahamic covenant, you would see that circumcision, the male circumcision of Israel, was a statement, if you will, that God was part of this. It was your reminder that you were being covered by God. So here they are, being covered by God, understanding God's power, and then here are the Philistines who are not. The battle lines that were drawn doesn't necessarily mean you have to fight. But like I said, each one had a hill, and Goliath came out. And then as the king sees these things, what is he doing? He's trying to come up with his idea of how he can afford to get a champion, someone who's going to fight for Israel, someone who's going to take upon Goliath and be victorious. So what does he do? He offers a prize, riches. You can have my daughter. And that your father's house would be free. No one is thinking about looking to God for help at this point. Well, I shouldn't say no one. But the king of Israel isn't looking to the Lord for deliverance, for a champion. He's thinking, I can offer to bribe these people by giving them riches, giving them my daughter, and then making sure that their house is free in Israel, meaning that they would not have to provide for military service, that they wouldn't have to potentially pay taxes, or they wouldn't have to be lowered in the rank or the status, that they would rise to this sense of nobility, that they would be free in Israel. We were singing a song here about freedom. You know, our freedom is in the Lord. It's got nothing to do with Israel. But our freedom is in our relationship with Christ, and our freedom is there. But what King Saul was trying to do was to make you see, or to make someone step up by offering them, we could call it a bribe, but by offering them something that they'd be willing to give their heart. When we look at ourselves and our potential actions and our celebration of our relationship with the Lord, we need to look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and let him make your paths, but he will make your paths straight. Saul had thought that he had a method of truly gathering a champion to fight for Israel. I'll give you what I can. And he probably could give him some riches. He could definitely at that period of time give him his daughter. But that wasn't enough. Again, 40 days, people were sitting here listening to this guy named Goliath and just were being tormented, treacherous. So here I'm at a point two. It says, the Lord will give you strength. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord will give you strength, and then follow that by be strong and courageous, similar to what God had promised Joshua, to be strong and courageous, and if God's giving you strength. So I'm going to read here a couple of more verses as we kind of transgress through here. So at verse 25, it says, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free. Then David spoke to the men and were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? David is like saying, well, what is this? Who are you talking about? Or did I hear you correctly when you're saying all these things that Saul is going to provide for the people who would fight up against Goliath? But God won't fail you. That's another point. God will not fail you. His oldest brother gets angry and gets, in fact, kind of belligerent towards David. He's asking him, well, what are you doing here? Why are you here to see the battle? Are you here to see us die? And David responds with something as simple as like, you know, it's just a word, you know. I didn't mean anything by it. I'm just talking. You know, I'm just talking about who is this uncircumcised Philistine? But we have the Lord will give you strength. We have to be strong and courageous. And we have that God will not fail you. So my point three is to give God your heart. Give God your heart. When David is responding to Saul in verse 32, he tells him, let no man's heart fail on account of him, meaning Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So there's a literal and a figurative meaning of this heart. Obviously, the literal meaning is that you won't have a loss of pumping power from your heart by this Philistine killing you. So let no man, heart fail on him. Then there's a figurative speech where if you're talking about somebody having heart, you know, having the heart of praise or the heart of giving. Some other people have the heart of competition where they'll never give up. But in this encounter with Saul, we see quite a few wonderful things here. We already spoke about. It says, let no man's heart fail. I will go and fight. And his example that he uses is that battle test that the Lord had provided him with earlier, and that's killing the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine would be just like one of them. The Lord God would deliver him from the hand of Goliath. So point A is we must know our enemy. We must know who we're fighting and why. Are we fighting ourselves? Are we fighting addictions, desires? Are we fighting trust? What is our battle? These are things that you must know. And what did Saul do again? He tried to put his armor on David, but he had not tested them. David was not familiar with this kind of fighting tactic of wearing armor at this point. But what did he do? David took what was familiar to him, and he gathered a sling and 5 smooth brook stones. So I submit to you, don't fight with an unfamiliar armor. Stand true to the armor that you have, the armor of God, to be put about you. Our strength comes from our familiarity with our Savior. We are strong as we've read and tested and been battle tested in our lives. And have had to depend on God for deliverance, have had to depend on God for anything. Remember that? Anything can be a battle that causes us to no longer be servants of God. Worry or doubt, any of those things are battles. And our confidence comes from having faith in God's capable hands. So upon the approach, as David went to Goliath, I like to read, because what they kind of did, they talked a lot of, I don't want to call it trash, but that's what we say, they talked back and forth to each other. They spoke a lot of trash, so David would speak, and then Goliath might speak, and, you know, Goliath's a big, burly kind of behemoth of a man, and he's wearing all this armor, and he's talking big trash to David. You know, he's like, am I a dog, you know? You send this little person, they don't even have sticks, you know? And that's what Goliath is saying. But then David responds, in verse 45. You come to me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now that's bold there. That's believing on the Lord daily right there. That's good juice, as some people might say. Amen. But here's the final, not the final, but here's another aspect of that. We cannot lose with God on our side. I don't understand how people feel. No, I can't say that because I can't understand. I'm a human being. But people have this propensity to say that we're serving God, that we're serving the Lord, and may not necessarily believe what they hear. Now, you can ask for clarity because God will provide you clarity. And he will provide you with witnesses to say what you've heard is being witnessed by others as they come and speak with you. But there's a sense of boldness that we should have, knowing who God is, knowing what his capacity is, knowing what he can do. We should be bold to understand that, and bold enough to say, help me with my unbelief. I may struggle with not believing, but I know that you're capable. I believe what it says in your word. So you call him on his word. And let him know that I've read it, I understand it. This is permeating in my heart. I need help. And the Lord will help you, but as far as your enemies, once you've identified them, he will come and help you to get victory over those enemies, whatever that enemy may be. And I'm not going to share too much more of that. But you know what your enemy is and who they are. So we can't lose with God on our side. There are a few scriptures and a kind of a mindset I'd like to just, you might want to write these down, and we'll go, and you can go over them later when you're looking at the food for thought. But there are some scriptures that help us during our times of fear and battle. But there's initially a mindset that we might have. So I'll tell you what the mindset is, and I'll provide you with a scripture, okay? The first mindset is we need to keep our minds on Christ. The scripture is Isaiah 26:3 that says that he will keep, that thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If we have a mind on Christ, then God will provide us with perfect peace. And what is that peace based on? It's based on your relationship with God and your knowledge that God is in control. Now that's peace. The Lord will give you strength, which is Isaiah 41:10. We've already mentioned that. Mindset. God will not fail me. But in this sense, we're supposed to not be afraid. That's Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the only one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And then the mindset, God is on my side. And that scripture is Psalm 118:6. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I think I heard our pastor say, and my son said yesterday as he was visiting, about no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You have to know my son to really understand that. But then I remember hearing pastors say, that doesn't mean the weapon isn't going to form. It just won't be against you. But that weapon is coming. You just better get ready. Amen? So we have this mindset. We have this concept of not being fearful. We're talking about being bold in battle, believing on the Lord daily. But there's something that I want to bring up to you. Some of you, again, may know this story, but I suggest if you have an opportunity and want a great story to go through 1 and 2 Samuel, you will be amazed at what these people have victory over, and you might even be amazed at what you read. And I'll just leave it at that. That's my little disclaimer. So if we go back to 1 Samuel 16, we can see where Samuel was coming to Jesse's, and we're looking at all of his sons. And he was trying to anoint someone, according to God's word to Samuel. He wanted to anoint someone as the king of Israel. Now, this is way before David meets Goliath. So he finally goes through, and he goes through the upper sons, and when David comes in, we can read through the story, but he finally anoints David as king of Israel. David is the only one who could have fought Goliath. Because if you would just think of this in this path, God needed a way of showing everyone that David was the champion of Israel. He needed a way of showing all people that could have potentially looked. Here you got this ruddy little man with a sling and some stones fighting this huge 9 to 11 foot tall guy, all this armor. And he's in front of the armies of the Philistines and the armies of Israel. And if David's brother's commander was a commander of thousands, there were several thousand people out there. Because you wouldn't have a commander of thousands with having a few of those, and you wouldn't know how the echelon would work. So God made it so that he anointed David as the king, and he had to show his ability. So this was a predestined plan of God to show that David was the champion. God wanted David to be witnessed by his faith in action as the champion of Israel. The opportunity proved to everyone that God's plan was in play. And in fact, there was no way that David could lose. Because God had taken the time to anoint him king of Israel, and he winds up dying at the hand of Goliath, but then it would have had to have been a miraculous healing so that David would be alive again at some point. You know, similar to Abraham sacrificing Isaac. So we obediently have to follow. David is. He obediently followed God. And as a result of killing this man, we have proof that God had empowered him. We have proof of the bears and lions being his battle test. And David had faith in God's ability to grant victory. So I submit to you this day that God will fight his children's battles. God will keep you in his promises. God will reward your obedience. God will give you victory, regardless of what it is that you might be fighting against. Relationships, somebody on your job, somebody that you have a great potential, I don't want to call it hate, but dislike, but it happens. Sometimes people have ways of rubbing you the wrong way, and you might need a deliverance of that. But God will give you victory. The battle is the Lord's. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. What was David's boldness? The battle was God's battle. So don't fight God's battle. Let him fight it. Be brave and just stand up. Be courageous in calling upon him. And make sure you have the faith that's necessary to believe that God will do what he promises and says he will do. So what does all this mean? Our battles can be anything that takes us away from being servants of the Lord. anything that causes us to have worry or doubt. Ask yourself, what are you battling with? Where are your battles that you need to be bold in? Where are your battles that you need to believe on the Lord daily? And then realize, just as God delivered Goliath into David's hands, he will grant victory over your battles according to his will. So be prepared to accept God's will for your life. So in conclusion, God will give you victory over your greatest fear for his glory. So just live your life to glorify God at all times. Being bold in battle, to believe on the Lord daily in battle, is all about glorifying God. And the beautiful thing here that you can take and meditate on, God always wins his battles. He always wins. Now, the only way that you can take this, believe in it, and apply it to your life is you must have a relationship with the Lord.